Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
Rest in Power, Mark E. Smith, 1957 to 2018.
Dark Room, replying to at Suburbs Pod. To celebrate his life, the best thing to do is find a band playing, wander on stage, turn down the guitar player's amp, and move the microphone. All right, we're in my basement.
Yeah, we are.
This week, and you just heard the jukebox playing in the basement,
right,
Patrick? I was in tribute.
Yeah, you had a single by The Fall.
I was playing The Fall, Bingo Masters Breakout.
Mm-hmm. Sounded great.
And that's because, sadly, another rock and roll passing.
Yeah, Mark E. Smith.
Right, of The Fall.
Left us last week at age 60. And, you know, Jim, I don't know if Mark would have really cared if anybody felt nostalgic about his death or not. You know, he was one of the ultimate outsiders, non-sentimentalists, I think, in rock and roll history.
Very eccentric type, right?
Individualistic.
Kind of plastic.
Sure. Yeah.
Yes. Okay, so we'll get to that in just a moment. This is Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Lenihan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
And please, when you get a chance, subscribe to the show.
Yeah.
On your favorite podcast platform, especially if it's Apple Podcasts, that helps us out. And also rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mark E. Smith. So I know you're a big fan of The Fall.
Big fan.
So talk to us a little bit about how you became aware of the band and, you know, how much you've enjoyed their stuff over the years.
Yeah, I think I just kind of came into The Fall, Jim, as an inevitable student of musical history, and you kind of start to run into them, right? So this is a band that was formed not in Manchester, but in the north of England in Prestwich.
Okay.
So they were close to Manchester,
right?
Kind of a suburb, essentially, of Manchester, and in 1976. So
I know.
Mark E. Smith was one of those people at that famous Sex Pistols show in Manchester Free Trade Hall that's chronicled in 24-hour Party People, and that's what inspired him to start The Fall. So it was that early. Yet, when they debuted, they never sounded like the times. They never sounded like punk. You know, they never sounded like anything pop. They had no flavor. They were just immediately The Fall, and they remained The Fall for 40 some years. They remained The Fall.
Well, okay, so for people who aren't familiar, we have to dissect this a little bit. When you say they remained The Fall, it was really Mark E. Smith who was The Fall over the course of those 40 years. And then there were something like about 60 other guys.
That's right.
Over that amount of time, right?
Yeah, his famous quote was, "If it's me and your granny on bongos, it's The Fall." So there was over 66 some members that came and went.
Right.
He was such an unsentimentalist, Jim, and such a hardcore devotee to his own art that he once fired a longtime guitarist on the guitarist's wedding day. Came to the wedding, fired the guy from the band, and left.
I think, and the other thing too, when you say like sort of that continued to be The Fall. So The Fall had a unique, especially
yeah,
for their time, a very unique style. I think if you listen to it today, if you never heard them before, you listen to it today, I don't know that it would strike you, you know, as that different from a lot of bands that have followed them since,
yep,
right? But if you put yourself back when this came out, it had to have sounded really different, right?
Very odd. I mean, I think the primary influences probably are Can, the Velvet Underground,
yep,
and some sort of rockabilly. You know, it's a very bizarre mix and very individualistic. I think, you know, Mark E. Smith remained the ultimate outsider his entire life and began that way. You know, he just was never like anybody else. He liked what he liked. He thought what he thought. He did what he did. He ran his band a certain way. And if you didn't like it, you weren't in the band. And sometimes you were out and back. You know, sometimes it was like Billy Martin. You were fired and brought back, you know, multiple times.
And over the course of those 40 years, how many studio albums were there?
Something in the neighborhood of like 35
yeah,
studio albums and then another 30 live albums. I went on Discogs earlier today and I added up albums, singles, EP, and compilations. And that came to 193. And that, Jim, does not include 24 Peel sessions, the most of any artist in history. John Peel
claimed
that The Fall were his favorite band, and he had them on 24 different times, by far the most of any band ever.
And for people who don't know John Peel, legendary BBC radio host, extremely influential. If he liked something, that really meant something to the listeners in England.
Yeah, and he spread punk rock, you know, to England, to parts of England, to the suburbs, to the hinterlands, where they never would have heard it, broadcasting on the BBC from London.
So he was a huge influencer, and he would play records, but then he would also have artists come in and play live in the studio. And a lot of you see the Peel sessions a lot of times for a lot of different artists.
They would do like these little 4-song sets, and they'd broadcast it live on John Peel's show like the next week. And it was a very unique kind of way to do things.
So should we play something by The Fall?
Why don't we? Let's hear Repetition, Jim, one of their earlier singles. And I think it speaks to Marky Smith's ethos. If you know The Fall's music at all, it is very repetitious. But right here, you're going to get a great flavor of what they were about.
Right, noise! Fancy music.
So it's kind of all right there.
Yeah.
Sick of fancy music. They dig repetition.
Right. And my understanding, even with the changing musicians in The Fall, that my understanding of the songwriting was basically it was the other guys in the band who would come up with the music itself, right? Yeah,
that's right.
And they would come up with whatever the song was gonna sound like, and then Marky Smith would sort of do his thing over the top of that, right?
Yeah,
he would use that as the basis for which he would apply his lyrics and vocals.
Yeah, exactly right.
And was not a verse, chorus, verse kind of guy. It was sort of a stream of consciousness, almost sort of spoken word poetry in a way, which is a funny thing too, because when you read about him, he very much wanted to be sort of an artist for the working class and not the academics, but it didn't work out that way because the kind of stuff he's doing appeals more toward, you know, the art scene kind of crowd, right?
No, that's right. He ended up attracting probably the people who, you know, he wasn't aiming necessarily or whose perspective he wasn't coming from, right? And Mark obviously spent a lot of time in pubs.
Right.
He obviously fought not a battle. I just think he rode the alcoholic wave pretty much, you know, his whole life. He was a serious drinker, and that's what ended up, you know, killing him along with, you know, a 2-pack-a-day habit of cigarettes. But, you know, that's the way he lived. But it wasn't meant to be highbrow in any way or art rock, right? Absolutely the opposite. Yet it appealed to students and it appealed to thinkers and it appealed to the intellectual crowd.
And another big influence of his, I understand, was Captain Beefheart.
Yeah, that's right.
Right? Mm-hmm. So he latched on to the idea that like music should be challenging in some way.
Exactly.
He apparently rejected the Beatles.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like that was not for him. He wanted something that, you know, you really had to sort of grapple with, I think, to some extent, sort of get your head around, right?
Yeah, that's right. I remember reading an article about Marky Smith at some point in, I think it was NME in some point in the 90s, and he was famous for having interviews with journalists, and those would consist of the journalist buying Mark a lot of pints of beer at different pubs, you know, in his hometown. And there's one where they go in and Mark sets half a foot in and says, "We can't go in there, mate. They're playing REM."
Oh, really?
Have to go somewhere else. Yeah. And there was one other anecdote that I thought was particularly funny. they once secured an appearance on Jules Holland's late night TV show, and literally apparently had put in their rider that Jules was not allowed to play boogie woogie piano for the whole evening. They went out of their way to have that.
Oh, that's really funny.
Yeah. So that's the kind of place Mark was coming from.
Can he stop? Can he keep himself from doing it? Right.
That's right.
Oh, okay. So, but the other thing too, so repetition, which sort of goes into the kind of the band philosophy and all of that. But, you know, I hadn't listened to any fall stuff in quite a while. And today while I was working at the day job, I just had sort of a fall playlist just kind of playing in the background. And the thing that impressed me, even in a setting like that, was just how musically interesting a lot of the songs were.
Yeah.
You know, that Repetition's kind of a different song, but a lot of them, there's a lot you can sort of latch onto in these
without
things,
a doubt.
You know?
Yeah.
So do you have another one we should play?
Yeah. Well, speaking of that, why don't we play a little bit of Spoilt Victorian Child off of a mid-80s record?
I mean, it's kind of hooky in a way.
You know? Absolutely.
It has elements, even though it's there's an intent to make the music somewhat challenging. You know, you could hear somebody just playing that in a bar. It has a certain playfulness too, and a certain aspect of just kind of this raw energy. You know,
and isn't that interesting?
Yeah,
yeah.
And I don't find it to be inaccessible. Really. And I think part of that too is the passage of time. I think, you know,
that's right.
You've heard a lot of other things over the course of time that are like that. We were texting earlier. I was going to mention a couple of bands like today that I really like, that I can say you can almost draw a straight line to them. Right. One is Art Brut.
Yeah. Without a doubt.
You know?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I love Art Brut, but it's the same kind of thing. It's like the music is sort of doing this one thing, and then the singer is kind of just, you know, putting a layer over the top,
right?
And this kind of spoken wordy kind of thing.
Life is especially hard when no one trusts you with a credit card. I love the taste of cereal. I have it for almost every meal. Five people to a tea bag. My life never really got that bad. Not while we still had.
Very wordy, you know, very dance, right?
Declaiming poetry loudly.
And singing, you know, in an accent, which you don't hear that often, right?
Marcy
Smith did that.
Oh, didn't try to hide it at all.
That's right.
Yeah.
So that was one that comes to mind. And then the other is one of my favorite bands right now is Proto Martyr.
Yeah, I was going to say. Exactly right.
That's exactly it. I mean, when I've seen Proto Martyr live, and I mean, it's almost... It is almost like sort of a poetry reading going on up on stage. You know, the band is doing their thing and they're playing and they're rocking out. And, you know, the singer's just kind of standing there almost motionless and just sort of words are just this stream of words are coming out of his mouth, you know.
You had excuse,
And again, kind of a sing talk kind of thing.
Yeah.
And
that's a great call.
Yeah. So it's really, you know, it's fun as a music fan to sort of see like where this stuff originates from.
Yeah.
You
know? I think that's well said.
And you were mentioning Pavement, I think, Pavement is another too, one. Yeah. Definitely.
Think of a song like Two States is essentially a fall, you know, rewrite.
There's a number of fall songs where you can hear Joy Division. You can maybe hear where Joy Division got some of what they were going for as well.
And vice versa. Yeah. Yeah. I think he got a little bit of that, you know, by osmosis from them or seeing those guys. Sure. Yeah. I think there's a little bit of humor in his lyrics too. If you listen to a lot of them, they're slyly, you know, funny. And it is like that loud drunk guy in the corner at the pub who's really smart. Actually, when you think about it, you know, he's being obnoxious and he's telling everybody what he thinks, but he's actually kind of right.
He's telling you the truth.
Yeah.
I got things to say, you people. This,
And remember in the mid 80s, Jim, when suddenly there was this short, really attractive blonde lady that showed up in the fall, Brick Smith, right? Who and they were married for a while in a legendarily raucous kind of a marriage. And I think Mark ran his marriage like he ran his band, you know, it was his way or the highway. So that was a weird period too. And, you know, he kept it up right until the end. Jim, he performed a show in a wheelchair, you know, at some point. He was obviously very ill last year and had plans to tour, but it just wasn't ever going to happen.
So Marky Smith died January 24th, age 60.
Looked like he was about 90.
Yeah. You know, all the years of hard living, I guess.
And there are legendary stories. Bassist Steve Handley wrote a book called The Big Midweek, Life Inside the Fall, that pretty much exposes every legend and rumor you want to hear about. It's a fascinating read if you like the band. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Well, you know, we had a number of listeners, quite a few listeners, reach out to us through social media and what have you after Mark died and asked if we were going to do something on him. So I think it shows that, you know, despite the fact that this is a band that for most of the population would be considered very obscure, our friends know what's what,
yeah,
right?
Isn't that cool? They were like, yeah, that's amazing. Yeah, so that's great. The best fans.
Yeah. Okay, so let's wrap this up. I know you have another song you think would be good to play out with. So.
Yep.
All right, so please listen to Rock in the Suburbs.
Every day.
You can find us on all those big podcast platforms, and you can also email us and let us know what you think about The Fall, Marky Smith, at rock@suburbspod.com, or call, and we will put your voice on a future show,
612-440-1984, Rock.
What?
A little Marky Smith tribute there.
Okay. Very good. And then I also mentioned, you know, the social medias. That's Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, @SuburbsPod. All right. So what would you like to play out with here?
Well, let's play out with probably my all-time favorite fall song, Jim. It's called New Face in Hell. And I hope that's not where Mark is. I hope he's up there in rock and roll heaven giving, like, you know, the band a hard time and moving their amps and, like, turning the vocal off during the middle of the set, smashing the microphone.
But again, speaks to his sense of humor, right?
Yeah, without a doubt.
Okay, Marky Smith, rest in power.
Rest in power.
I'm Jim Lenihan.
Patrick Foster.
And we have something special planned for tomorrow, so we'll talk to you then.
Intercepts government secret radio band and uncovers secrets and scandals of deceitful type proportions. A guest goes next door to his neighbor, secretly excited, as aforementioned was a hunter who radio enthusiast wanted friendship and favor on. Before by parties who knew of wireless operators' forthcoming revelations.
something you've got to remember. You're writing music, and you've got to get, you've got to have a word that puts a chill up everybody's spine and stuff. You know, it doesn't matter what the word is; it's the way you use it with the music.